Good morning. It is good to be with you today. I do hope for your sake that Dustin is back next week. Obviously, you're at the bottom of the barrel scraping portion of this fill-in. If he's not back next week, don't tell the next guy that I said that. So, but I am very thankful for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. As I have been able to, over the last almost 3 years now, be a dad to Ella, I have found that sometimes it's a little bit easier for me to find things to talk about when I have opportunities to be up here. She's good at giving me ideas, whether that be good or bad. But if you know Ella, you may know that she loves to sing. And we say that she could dance to elevator music. She's always got a song. She's always singing something. Some things that are not even songs, she puts a tune to, and she just enjoys and is happy with that. Even in the car this morning, she was doing that as we were singing some of our songs. And she especially loves some of the songs that we maybe attest as VBS songs or children's songs. She loves songs like Tiptoe, Tiptoe in God's House. She's singing it now. She loves songs like Wrapped Up, Tied Up, Read Your Bible, Grow, or Read Your Bible, Pray Every Day, and You'll Grow, Grow, Grow. We sang that one in the car this morning. But one of her favorites and one of my favorites is This Little Light of Mine, and we sang that this morning as well. And the more that I hear these songs, the more that I have an opportunity to think about the songs and the words to them. And I think sometimes for myself, and again, I'm not against hand motions, so be very clear on my stance there. I'm not against hand motions, but sometimes I get caught up in, okay, is she doing the hand motions? Is she playing with the song? But then I forget about the words as well. And so recently, as we've been singing This Little Light of Mine a lot, I've been thinking about the words, and I've been thinking about my influence. And the Bible has a lot to say about influence and our influence on others, both from a positive and negative perspective. In 1 Corinthians, it's evil companions will corrupt good habits or good morals. And then in Proverbs, we know that as iron sharpens iron, so one man can sharpen another. And we have conversations, or we have instructions that we see from that Paul gives Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, when he tells him, "Let no one despise your youth," in verse 12, "but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity." Then again in Titus chapter 2, again speaking to the young men in verse 6, "Then we encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything." Verse 7 says, "Make yourself an example of good works with integrity and dignity in your teaching." And so this morning, I do want to talk for just a moment about this little light of mine. And it leads us directly into, and I promise it does not get any more creative for our points from here, "I'm Going to Let It Shine" is our first point. And the simple, and what we'll spend the shortest amount of time on, is because Jesus commands for me to let my light shine. In Matthew chapter 5, in which we just read, in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world, a city situated on a hill that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those that are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." In Matthew chapter 5, he just talked about the Beatitudes, talked about what it looks like to be a kingdom citizen. And we'll talk about that more in just a little bit. And then just after this, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, he challenges and commands and says that the righteousness of a kingdom citizen is supposed to exceed that of even a Pharisee. Our role as Christians is to be a light, and so then that begs the question, okay, why? And it's simply because it is in my nature. If we look in Ephesians chapter 5, if you look over in Ephesians chapter 5 with me, we'll spend just a few moments there. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, Paul tells us to be imitators of God, walking in love and not immorality. And we'll come back and read that in just a minute. But verse 6, it says, let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what is done to them in secret. Verse 13 says, everything is exposed by the light is made visible. For what makes everything visible is light. Therefore, it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We were once darkness. You can say you were once in darkness, but that you were once darkness, but now are light. Again, notice that he did not say in darkness or in light, but that you were darkness and you are light in God. This describes the very being of who we are and who we are called to be. And we talked this morning, Ty mentioned that God is love. John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 also says that God is light. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and not participating in the truth. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Our God is light. And as we read from Ephesians chapter 6, that we were once darkness, but now that we are light in the Lord, once we've put on Christ, once we have decided to put on the name of a Christian, then we are to be light. We were more immoral. We were disobedient. And now we're expected to walk as Jesus did. I know we said we'd read it in just a moment. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and a fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and impurity or greed should not even be heard among you, as is proper to be heard among as is proper for the saints. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For know and recognize this, every sexual, moral, or impure, or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. We were immoral, we were disobedient, but we are called to walk in the fruit of the light, and then in verses 6 through 14, it lets us know that that's to walk in goodness, to walk in righteousness, to walk in truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Trying to walk, or walking as Jesus did. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, again, spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of light. In John chapter 9 and verse 5, again, it says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John chapter 1 describes Jesus as being the true light, the life and the light of all men. As a Christian, it is in my very nature, not just because I'm commanded to, but it is in my very nature because the name that I am wearing is light. That my God is light. And as a citizen of his, as a child of his, I am to resemble Jesus. And again, that we talked about the Beatitudes, and we're going to be citizens that resemble our King, that are poor in spirit. That we are going to be the mourning, the humble, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're going to be merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers and persecuted. And if we're doing these things as we're living as a kingdom citizen should, if we're living as, then we are going to be a light to this world. Our God is light, and he brought the light into the world by bringing his son into the world to bring life and light to all men. Now he has left us with the responsibility and obligation to project the light that is in us onto and into the world. And if Jesus truly has my heart, if I've welcomed Jesus into my heart, and I'm wearing that name of a Christian, it will be impossible to not shine. It is who I am as a child of God. So this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And as you guessed, hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. Jesus makes a point in Matthew chapter 5, which seems and should seem pretty obvious to all of us, when he says you would not light a lamp and then put it under a bushel or put it under a basket, because essentially, as we all know, that would make the light useless, right? We would not do that for any reason. But asking myself, okay, what does that mean for me, or what does that look like? I invite you to ask yourself a few questions, and we'll give you a second to reflect on each of these. You're here this morning. Are there those that you go to work with, that you'll see tomorrow, that you go to school with, that would be surprised to find out that you are here today? Are there those that you see every day that would be surprised to know that you were here this morning? Are there those that you go to work or school with every day that have no idea that you're here or what you believe in? Are you going to go to work or school tomorrow with people that have no idea that you're a child of God's or that you held any faith at all? In challenging yourself with these questions, I then ask to dig one step deeper and ask yourself why. Why would people be surprised? Is it a fear of those who are around me and the reaction that they may have towards finding out about my faith? A fear of losing standing among my peers or even someone in this life with power over me, like a boss or a teacher or a professor or a coach? A fear that people will know that my ambition or my goals in this life don't come from the acceptance of man, but only that of God? Are there going to be people that I see tomorrow, that I see every day, that I interact with often, that have no idea who I am or who I say to be that I am? I think we read in the Bible of a couple people who acted this way. Peter is the first one that comes to mind. Just hours before he denied Christ, he was on fire for the Lord, ready to go to battle for him. When Jesus told him that he was going to deny him, he said, even if everyone else falls away, that's not going to be me. I'm not going to fall away. I'm not going to deny you. I would never do that. But when he was tested before man, when that was put to the test, he denied Jesus in front of everyone. He swore an oath that he did not know him. He cursed. He swore another oath saying that he did not know Jesus. And I know we say that we would never do that. But I think that in our actions and sometimes in our words, or even not letting others know about Jesus, that we do very, very similar. What about the Jews in John chapter 12? In John chapter 12, it is talking about that there's going to be some that would believe and some that would not. And in verse 42, it says, nevertheless, many did believe in him, even among the rulers. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, so that they would not be banned from the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than the praise from God. Who do I fear? Whose praise do I value? Jesus is pretty clear in Matthew chapter 10 about the consequences of choosing to value this world or value the opinion of man over him. In verse 32 and verse 33, it says, therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The principle remains, if you substitute money for anything of this life or anything that we're going to put before God. If I choose Christ, if I choose to let my light shine, to be an influence for him, then I am going to be glorified. Then he is going to confess my name before the Father. But a very, very severe warning for all of us that if we deny him in this life, If we choose to put the acceptance of man before him, if we're hiding our light under a bushel, then he will deny us before the Father. I cannot be ashamed of Christ or the name of a Christian and have the light of Christ inside me. If my shame or fear is causing me to hide my light or lose my influence, then I'm not being a very effective light. So this whole light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, it seems like an obvious point. But I think when we think of the practicality of it, this is something that maybe we all struggle with. And then don't let Satan it out. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. My first question was, can Satan really blow out my light? And I was trying to think about how he could do that. And then the answer that I best came up with was simply, only if I let him. Satan can only blow my light out if I let him. Satan will put temptations in front of me that if I fall into them, can and will impact my influence in this world. Things like sexual morality or and dishonesty and gossip or things that we maybe look as simple as not showing kindness, or not to mix children's songs, but if I'm not careful what my eyes see, my ears hear, my mouth say, my hands do, or where my feet go, not careful in all of those things, then I am going to be a very ineffective light. Or in this case, Satan will have blown out my light. And if these are things that I'm giving into, then I've got both an internal and an external light issue. From an internal perspective, I'm no longer living a Christ-focused life. If I'm not allowing Christ to be king over my heart, then I'm not going to be a projection of him. And from an external one, people of the world see that I'm willing to compromise the things that I profess for the things that Satan is putting before me, that I'm going to lose all of my positive influence. And I'm careful to say that I'll lose my positive influence, because my influence will remain. I will have an influence either way, but it will not be for Christ, and it will not be for good. And with this, and I still struggle with wrapping, and I hope that everyone understands what my question is. If you see that it says now a light or a mirror behind my head, but I ask you to ask yourself a question as to, am I a light or am I a mirror? Do I have Christ inside me and in my heart? Am I projecting him as a light in the world, or am I just reflecting what is around me? Maybe I do good things when with good people. Maybe I am attending services. Maybe I help the sick. Sorry. Maybe I even teach classes or volunteer to fill in when another local congregation needs someone to preach. Maybe I'm doing good things when I am around good people. But when I'm around people of the world, who am I then? Am I a reflection of the people of the world? Do I do what things that the people of the world do? Am I reflecting what's around me, or projecting the light that is inside me? See, a mirror is not and cannot really be a source of light. A mirror's duty is to reflect what is put in front of it. And so as a child of God, I am called to be a light and the source of light in the dark, projecting what's in my heart, Jesus Christ. And so I ask you to ask yourself, and I am challenging myself with the same question, is, am I a light? Am I a source of light to the world, or do I just reflect what's around me on whatever given day? Am I doing what the world does if I'm around the world? Am I doing what even good people do? Right? If I do what is right when I'm around people who are right, that doesn't mean that Christ is reigning in my heart. I think sometimes we, and I use we because I'm speaking to myself, have gone through times where we thought we were a light in the world, but we're not doing the things of Christ. We're being a light, or we're being a mirror of those things that are around us. My influence and my projection for God will only be weakened if there is no fire or it won't exist if there's no fire, if I'm just reflecting what is around me. And saying that Satan is the only one who can blow my light out, we know from 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober-minded, be alert, your adversary the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. He's looking for whose candle he can blow out at any point. And he will look for those opportunities when we are not ready or when we are not focusing our life on Christ. And so this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. I'm not going to let Satan blow it out and finally all around the neighborhood. I'm going to let it shine. And this morning we end with a challenge. And let's go back to Matthew 5 and we'll read verses 14 through 16 one more time. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 it says, you are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all those that are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that you may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I've probably told this story more than Katie and Nick Payton themselves, but it's something that they told and it stuck with me. From their honeymoon, they were in Arizona and they were driving around in the mountains at night. And in a mountain range that was off in the distance, it was dark all around them, except for there was one place, one city, that there were lights on. At that night, they didn't drive to it, but the next morning they said, hey, what's up on that mountain? And they chose to drive and go figure out what city was there, what was going on in that place that in the nighttime it was lighting up and bring light for everyone to see. And I know that's a small example or a silly example maybe, but I think it paints the picture exactly what we just read in Matthew chapter 5. When people see a light in darkness, they're going to want to investigate. They're going to want to know what is different. They're going to want to know more about it. We must be a city that is up on a hill and seen from miles around. I am not a scientist. I read this, that light uncontained can go for miles. The human eye can detect a candle flame in the dark up to 1.6 miles. Light uncontained can go for miles. And if I am letting my light shine, and you're letting your light shine, together we can't be avoided. Everyone around us is going to see our light. And then they're going to have to ask. They're going to have to want to know, why are we different? Why are we lighting this world? And our influence will not be able to be unseen. People will undoubtedly see us, and they will see God, as we read in Matthew chapter 5, through the darkness. And that is our goal in being a light, is to let people see God. If I told you that I had the best car mechanic in the world, and I pulled in here in my car, I didn't drive my Nissan, so I can use this example. And I drive, you see my car shaking and rattling and blowing smoke and dying as I pull in the spot. Are you going to call my mechanic next time that you need a mechanic because I said he was so good? Probably not. That's probably a good example of someone you're not going to call next time that your car breaks down. If I am telling you that I'm a light, if I am telling you that I follow Christ, but in action, I am reflecting what the world does. I am doing what the world does. I'm going places where the world goes. Are people going to want to be drawn to my light? Are they going to want to do what I say that I'm doing? Simply the answer would be no. If I can show the joy, if I can show the light, if I can show what it's like to truly be in Christ, people are going to want to know about Christ. They're going to be drawn to him. But if I say one thing and my light shines something different, or my influence shows something different, I should say, no one's going to want to be a part of what I say is good. How much more can I lead people to God if we're not letting our influence shine and project that Christ is living in us? In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, it says, Besides this, since you know the time, it is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is near, so let us discard the deeds of the darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk with decency in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual impurity and promiscuity, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't make plans to gratify the desires of the flesh. This morning, let's, as we wrap up, let's ask by starting, is my light shining? Do I have Christ inside me? In the book of Galatians, it tells us that as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And if this morning we're here and we've not put on Christ, then we know from that our light is not going to be shining for him. But we also know that we can't be in the light, in the blessings that it is to have Christ. And if this morning we put on Christ, but we've been hiding our light, or we've let Satan blow it out, we have the opportunity, and we implore with you this morning to relight your flame, to uncover your flame, to be the influence of Christ to the world around you. If you've let Satan blow out your basket or your candle or hide it under a basket this morning, I implore you to go to God, to seek repentance. We're here to pray for and with you, to lift you up, to strengthen you. When we talked, each and every one of us have a responsibility to be a light into this world, as Jesus commanded in Matthew chapter 5. But beyond the command, it's because it should be in our very nature. It should be in who we are as a projection of who is inside us. This morning, we ask that you do not leave this building with any kind of question or any kind of doubt as to where you'll spend your eternity. If we can help you in any way, we ask that you please come forward as we stand and as we sing.